Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Architecture Wealth. My name is Mark Struthers. I am your host. Thank you for joining us. And today, our topic, our tool that we're going to give you to build more well-balanced wealth is we're going to discuss what it means to be underwater with your equity compensation, specifically your options. So think incentive stock options, ISOs or NSOs or NQSOs, so non-qualified stock options. And to keep things simple, most of our reference are going to be to non-qualified stock options. I tend to see those more than other ones. And with the recent market downturn, just about all of our conversations are related to the recent correction bear market. I get a lot of folks asking, what does it mean to be underwater? And to put it as simply as possible, underwater means the strike price of your options is above that of the current market price. Now, unless you're familiar with these things, that probably may not make a lot of sense. If you're not someone that lives and breathes equity compensation, or in my case, even I was a options principal way back when I certainly after I first started in the industry, I was worked a lot with options. I was a series four. Don't look that up. It's not relevant. But just it goes without saying some of these terms might be foreign to you. So we're going to try and simplify those. So when we talk about being underwater, no analogy is perfect, but one analogy was when we look at your home. Say you bought a home in late 2007, early 2008. We're going to say that you paid $250,000 for it and that you financed it all with debt. Two or three years later, the value of that home, if you had to sell it, was probably more like $200,000, probably dropped at least 20% in value. And some of you might be saying, well, I thought the bottom of the stock market was March of 2009. It was. Usually there's a delay with homes. Home prices tend to be stickier. People cling on to those prices longer. You know, they usually wait till they're forced to sell. And there's a number of different reasons. And that's another podcast altogether. But the bottom of the housing market, depending on where you were at, was probably more like 2012, maybe 13, maybe 11. So a few years later. But if that happened and your home was worth $200,000, you owed $250,000, you were $50,000 underwater. When we're talking about your equity comp, I have an example here, and I'm using a company that I'm neither positive nor am I negative on. This is not a recommendation, nothing against this company. I do know a couple of people that work for them, but again, this is just a company where I looked at the chart and said this might be a good example because this all happened just recently here. I'm going to use Regeneron, so ticker symbol REGN. And by all indications, it's a great company, but again, not a recommendation. Please don't go out and buy it. But in my example, we're going to say that just recently, March of 2020, you were issued some non-qualified stock options, just for our example, and that the strike was $650. So they were granted to you, and we're going to assume they vested right away. That's not realistic, but we're going to assume that they were. And we'll assume a 10-year expiration, that's relevant, but just as an example. So you have the right to buy, if this were to take place, you would have had the right to buy Regeneron at $650, which is about roughly what the price was at. That's the reason I used it. And then a month later, Regeneron shot up quite a bit. It was up well above 700, 725. We're just going to use 700 as an example for round numbers. So you could have exercised those options for 650, bought in the stock, paid the taxes. Don't forget about taxes. And you could have went out and sold those shares, took possession of the shares and sold them right away, actually, or went out and sold them in the market for $700 a share, making $50 a share minus taxes. Pretty cool. But let's say you did not do that and you waited another month. And we'll just take the current price now is about $600. So you own those options. And at one point, it was showing on your statement a value of $50 a share. Say there were 100 options for 100 shares. And it would be about $5,000 in value shown on your statement. And you probably said to yourself, I have something worth $5,000. Well, now, because the current price, the current market price of $600 is much less than the $650, your value is, on your statement, is zero. Your options are underwater. The strike price is above the current market price. The strike price is above the current market price. So if you're talking about listed options, which are different than equity compensation options, but listed options, when the price was $700 and you had the right to buy it at $650, you could say your option was in the money. There was an intrinsic value there. And now that the stock price has dropped down to $600, it's out of the money or underwater. So that's what we're talking about. And this affects a lot of people. They'll look at those statements and they think that's the value. And that's the tough thing about options. If you have a statement that shows your RSUs that are granted, may or may not, that granted but not vested, they'll show a value all the time, unless the stock price goes to zero, which for most companies is not going to happen. So those RSUs, restricted stock units, are probably going to have also some kind of value. You know, any of the equity compensation where you actually own something that can be turned into shares directly and there's not an option or strike price to it. Now, keep in mind, when you have like RSUs that are granted, which is what you see more and more, you usually get less of them than you do from options. So options, it's good to think about them as higher risk, higher reward, but they're, in essence, they're levered. And part of that risk, though, is that the value can drop to zero quickly. You saw that with Regeneron. There were folks who had stock options that were worth quite a bit. Their statement showed their liquid net worth was quite high, to have it just disappear as soon as the stock price dropped below the strike price. So I hope that makes it clear that's what it means to be underwater. You know, one thing to keep in mind is that when you're talking about a listed options, if you were to go out and buy a listed option, say you were buying the right to buy Regeneron at $650, say right now, stock price is $600, you have a right to buy at $650. You went out to the listed option market and say, I want to buy the right to do that for a year. It's going to cost you something to do that, even though that option, much like our equity compensation option, has no intrinsic value. You can't exercise it you could, but it doesn't do any good because the strike price is above the current market price. But buying the right to do that costs you something. That has value. So one thing to keep in mind is to have some perspective that even though your statement shows zero, because there's no intrinsic value, the strike price is above the current market price, they still have value because it does give you the right to do something for what is often a very long period of time. It just doesn't show it. For some people are going to say they don't care. They're still upset. I get it, but just to offer some perspective, and because you can actually go out and see the listed option for Regeneron and see what it would cost you to buy the right to do something, that could be pretty compelling for some people, not all. So try to have some perspective, appreciate what you have. What should you do? In most cases, nothing. You should just leave your options be. One fairly big mistake, and I love the fact people are thinking about ways of saving money on taxes, but one mistake people make is they think, well, I exercised my options, we'll use Regeneron, when it was at $700 and I made $50 a share. You call it profit, but technically you didn't put any money into those. You might have put in some sweat equity, some work to get them, but you actually didn't put any money into those. But say you had $50 a share in profit, and you pay taxes on it, they think, well, now I'm below $50, below my strike price, I'll exercise them, and that'll offset the taxes for the other ones. It doesn't work that way. When you exercise them, there's no ordinary income lost to offset other equity compensation options that you exercise. So I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. I guess you could, in our example, pay $650, go out and sell them for $600, take possession of the shares, and you have a $50 capital loss, but that's most likely not going to offset the ordinary income and the payroll taxes that you paid in the case of non-qualified stock options that you paid when you maybe exercised other options. So those taxes don't work that way. You can't take that most cases that loss is not going to work for you. The only time where it might make sense to buy them at that higher price is for a privately held company. Publicly held companies, it almost never makes sense. Just if you want to buy Regeneron, don't pay $650 for it in our example, go buy it for $600. You know, and keep in mind concentration risk, but and then do whatever your strategy or whatever your portfolio, whatever you're doing for your portfolio, just keep on doing what you're doing. For private companies, it is different because often the only way to get access to them is through these options. So say you had a private company who you had an option with a strike of 10, but the valuation of the company shows it a value of 5. Well, you could say, well, I don't want to pay double for the company, but if your only way to get access for that company and you expect it to grow quite a bit more, and you don't know how quickly, you don't know how often it's valued, it might be worth it. It's a big risk because, again, you're paying more for something than its stated value. But if in the case of a private company, especially if it's the share, your access to those shares is going to be limited, it might be worth it. If you say at some point, I think they're going to be worth $100 a share, that risk reward might be worth it to kind of initially take that $5 loss and then just to get access, because you can't go out to the free market and do it. Even though the company might be saying our shares are worth $5 a share based on whatever method they use to value that company, you can't go to the free market and buy it. You can with Regeneron, you can with Target, you can with Medtronic, whatever the company. You know, in the case of Regeneron, it's $600 a share. Go buy it. It's cheaper than your strike of your options. In the case of a private company, you don't have the option of buying it for $5. You know, again, be careful. Realize the risk you're taking on, and that $5 a company could be the right price. It could be much lower, or the price could still go down. So you just don't know. If you're paying more for something than it might be worth at current time, that risk increases. We're kind of seeing that with growth stocks as rates rise, but that's another conversation. And also I'm going to close on the other two things I mentioned. Appreciate what you have. Realize that your right to buy those shares, even at a price that's higher than the current market value, still has value. You can see it in the listed options market. And lower expectations. Understanding what you have, lowering expectations, being realistic about your net worth, about the value that's reflected in your equity comp statements, will help you make better financial decisions. It also will help the emotional side of things when we have these large corrections. So it'll help you more effectively build well-balanced wealth. That's all I have for you. Thank you for joining me. Have a great July 4th, everyone. Take care. We'll be right back.